Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on socials at BDon300. And today, we're going to be breaking down last weekend's victory, a 45-24 final score against North Carolina State. And then we're going to get you guys ready for this weekend's matchup at home against Central Michigan. We're at a very important junction of the season. We got Ohio State on the other side. Don't think this is a game that even if we look ahead of, you know, Central Michigan, we end up dropping. But I think this is a game that you just gotta take it each. You don't want anybody to get hurt. You don't want to show too much. And you got to be all systems go come the following week. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We played a game on Saturday against North Carolina State. It was our first true test of the season, if you really want to call it that. I know we ended up winning by 21 points. And I know I said on the pregame show, -7.5, one of my favorite bets so far of the season. It popped down to 7. I absolutely nuked it, and what do you know, it cashed. But this was a game that took so long because of that rain delay. And it was really slow before the game went into a rain delay. And then Audric Estime busted it wide open with an 80-yard touchdown, like, almost immediately after the game returned to play. And I'll say, like, North Carolina State, they hung really strong until about the fourth quarter, and then that's when the turnover started flying. Brennan Armstrong couldn't hold on to the ball, and we were able to go ahead and find a way to win that football game. On the day, he threw 3 interceptions, and I'm pretty sure 2 of those came in the fourth quarter. But on our side of the ball, Sam Hartman, 286 yards, 4 touchdowns, a very, very, very good value Heisman bet, especially if you're thinking that this team can get to the college football playoff, which I do think they can. Audric Estime, 14 carries for 134 yards. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw something over the weekend that Audric Estime is the leading rusher in all of college football. But neither of those guys are actually going to be my player of the game. And I know we'll get into player of the games in a little bit, but a star emerged in the receiver room out there on Saturday. And that guy is Holden States. He had 4 receptions for 115 yards from the tight end position. So I shouldn't say receiver, but we'll call him pass catcher. He's 6'4", 242, sophomore. And could he be the next guy that emerges from tight end U Notre Dame? Merriweather had 45 yards on 1 catch. Tyree, 2 for 68. Pretty good distribution chart, but only 15 completions for 286 yards. So Sam Hartman really didn't – you know, he did have 286 yards and 4 touchdowns, but he didn't have to throw the ball as much as he may have wanted to in this game, or we didn't really need it, though. Like, we had a very balanced attack, 170 yards on the ground. Jadarian Price contributed 31. Jeremiah Love had 24. And, yeah, like I said, Estime 134. Sophomore standout Benjamin Morrison found himself with another interception. Morris, the foul was all over the field. He had 5 tackles. J.D. Bertrand also had 5 tackles. But the leader on the day was Thomas Harper with 7 total tackles, 3 solo, 2 pass deflections. For the turnovers on the day, let's see. Oh, here we are. DJ Brown, Xavier Watts, Benjamin Morrison. So an all secondary party, 2 safeties and a corner. They all got a little piece of Brennan Armstrong. And kind of what I said in the pregame show is what ended up happening. Now, I know Armstrong was a rushing threat going into this game, but he did finish the day with only 2.2 yards per carry, 26 yards and a tutty. So I mean, he did get the touchdown, but Brennan Armstrong is a guy that he runs. I'm not going to say he's like a Tebow, but he runs like that. Like he's a big dude. He has, you know, that shoulder that he can lower on you at any given moment. And it's hard to make a tackle in an open field on a guy that's got 20 pounds on you if you're a DB. So they did a very good job at containing him. Their rushing game contributed for less than 84 yards or for 84 yards on the dot. And like I said at the beginning of the show, this was a game that it was close for about 3 quarters, but we blew them out in the fourth. You find 21 points, so they're 7 in the fourth. You end up winning the game by 21. And those interceptions that we got in the fourth quarter were very timely and just a spot that they happened at on the field. When you can get a plus territory turnover, especially at that junction in the game with the lead, it's curtains for the team that you're playing. They don't stand a chance. So I was super pumped up to see the DBs out there making plays. And this is the first time this season, you know, that we've really been tested with an offense that's worth a shit. They scored 24 points. 7 of those points came in garbage time. I'm proud of the way the guys played, and I couldn't be more happy with the result. They covered. They went into a hostile environment. They dealt with adversity in terms of the rain delay and having to sit around, get back out there, get ready, and get back into the rhythm. And like I said, what they do, they answered 2 plays later or 1 play later with an Audric Estime 80-yard touchdown. I didn't even know the game was back yet. I got the blinker on my phone, and it said Estime scored an 80-yarder. So I was, like, on my way to the NIU game. I had the thing in the cup holder just waiting for the alert. Didn't get the alert that the game started. And right as it starts, Audric Estime to the crib. But I'm happy where this team is at. They're exactly where I thought they would be. They're 3-0, 3 great games. Three great games from our guys. They scored 40 points in all 3 games, covered in all 3 games. They were dominant in all 3 games. And we go into a game against Central Michigan, which is an opponent that, I'm going to be honest with you, like, I cover the MAC. They weren't picked to do well in the MAC. We are going to absolutely rickroll this team. They're not going to stand a chance. I can count on saying that Steve Angeli will probably play the whole second half. There will be a lot of rotation going into this next game. But hats off to everyone involved for the game plan, the adjustments, the game-changing plays such as turnovers or 80-yard touchdown runs. Like, the guys came to play. I'm not going to say that anyone's, like, counting us out, because I don't really think anyone looked at us as, like, a true blue college football playoff team outside of the guys in that locker room. And to me, that's all that matters. Our fans, I know, are starting to build up the steam and starting, you know, to say, hey, if we can do this or we can do that, why won't we have a seat at the table? We have a schedule that provides us the opportunity, if we are able to go 12-0, to get into the college football playoff. That's all I'll say on the matter. But you look at the 3 big games, and even though Clemson lost, Clemson is still Clemson. So first one comes on the other side of the Central Michigan game in Ohio State. Biggest game at Notre Dame Stadium since that Clemson game a few years back. You got USC, whose offense looks unstoppable, but their defense is less than desirable. And then you got Clemson, who we've just had battles with these guys over the last 10 years, that the game always comes down to one possession, with the exception of what we did to them last year and what they did to us in the college football playoff. But I just think that we're going to be 4-0 after next week, and hopefully be well-rested, hopefully be ready to roll. I know Ohio State has, like, Western Kentucky or some similar level opponent, someone that's not really going to give them a run for their money, but they don't really look great this year. So I'm not really too worried about – I'm really not worried about anyone on the schedule. I'm worried about the letdown game that we always get, or the game that the lights are too big. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see what ends up happening. But as far as the North Carolina State game goes, like, A-plus performance, offense, defense, special teams – I know that there was a missed kick, but he also had a 54-yarder. So it is what it is. He trailed all his extra points. McPherson had 50-yard average on his punts with a long 59. So those guys did their thing. And I think, too, on the topic of Spencer Schrader, both field goals that he attempted were 50-plus yards. So that just goes to show you the level of trust that Coach Marcus Freeman has in Spencer Schrader. And I would hope that the kid's able to make some big kicks for us down the stretch. We haven't really needed him, or the punter, to be honest. He's probably as busy as – he probably punted more times in this game than he did all season, Bryce McPherson. So just keep doing your one of one. The rest will take care of itself. The offense and defense both look phenomenal. They don't look too top-heavy. Like, they're not too dependent on one person. Everybody's making plays. Everybody's eating on both sides of the ball in my eyes. So I'm really happy with where this team is at. Surely nothing can go wrong from here. But for the North Carolina State game, On the offensive side of the ball, like I said earlier, I don't want to give – I give the player of the game, the SMA and Hartman, every single week. It's Holden Stays. Four receptions, 115 yards, a 28.8-yard average with a long of 40 and two touchdowns. Okay? This is a guy that really made a name for himself in the biggest game that we've played for this season. And I would only hope that he can continue to ingratiate himself in the offense and they continue to get him involved to a further extent to where we see him get five, six, seven catches a game. Because if you know anything about Notre Dame football and you haven't lived under a rock for the last 20 years, we've had some very, very good tight ends come through those doors. And I would love for him to be that next guy up because the receiver room has looked less than great. They've made their plays against the lower level opponents that we've played, but we're going to need big games from our receivers and from our skill players to hang with the USC and to play against, you know, a Clemson with the defense that they have. They had a game this week where, yeah, I know they played Charleston Southern. They only gave up 74 yards in the whole game. So college football is crazy. Any given Saturday, anything can happen. Don't think we're prone to that this weekend. But on the defensive side of the ball, for my player of the game, I am going to roll with Thomas Harper. Seven tackles and two pass breakups. I know he didn't get any of the interceptions, but those interceptions probably don't happen if there isn't some sort of pressure being felt by the way that Harper played. So we had a safety who contributed seven tackles, two pass deflections, and two other safeties that grabbed an interception. So honestly, not to say, we're just going to give it all to the safeties. Xavier Watts, DJ Brown, Thomas Harper. Great game, two turnovers for the bunch, we'll say. So Watts had three tackles, Brown had five. So from the safety position, we got 15 tackles, two interceptions, and two pass breakups. Like, I will add a tackle for loss because Benjamin Morrison had a TFL in there. So I'll take that any day of the week. Watts also had a pass deflection as well. So three pass deflections, 15 tackles, a TFL, like two picks. Give me that every week of the season. I played safety. I love the position. Last line of defense. Armstrong was trying to beat us deep. And the safety said, no, not today. And also, honorary player of the game is going to go to the Wrangler. Because the Wrangler, like, they were kind of yiddish, kind of sluggish that first quarter. Only 3 points. Defense held the shutout. But, you know, with the offense that we have, you expect them to come out fireworks every time. You don't expect many three and outs. You don't expect turnovers. You don't expect us to not do anything other than find seven on every drive that we have. That's the type of offense and quarterback that we have. You run the football well. The offensive line does their job. And you have a quarterback that's seen everything you could possibly see in a college football career. So hats off to the whole team. Hats off to the coaching staff. And hats off to the Wrangler. Because Wrangler kind of woke them up, snapped them into shape, got them ready to roll. It was almost like having two halftimes. And they went into a hostile environment against a team that under Dave Dorn has been very successful. They play a tough brand of defense, and you put 45 points on them in their house. So very happy with the results from this past weekend, but can only live with the results for so long. We do have a new opponent coming to town this weekend, and it is Central Michigan. Central Michigan is in the MAC. I think they're 1-1. So last week they needed needed overtime too, but they needed a walk-off field goal. It wasn't overtime. It was in regulation against University of New Hampshire at home. They won the game 45-42, and they played Michigan State to open up the season. They lost 31-7. Score is a little bit misleading. The game was closer than 31-7, but Michigan State couldn't hold our jock strap. So not concerned. The spread for this game is -34.5. The over-under is 51.5. And according to the ESPN analytics, We have a 98.6% chance to win this game to Central Michigan's 1.4%. Now, I will say Central Michigan's quarterback, Bert Emanuel, is an athletic kid. I've seen him play a couple times, or maybe just once, against Northern Illinois because they had Daniel Richardson for the last few years and Lou Nichols. They have had some good players come through there. And obviously, you know, J.J. Watt went there, Antonio Brown. Like, Central Michigan has a good history, but this is not one of their better teams. They're an evenly balanced offense throughout the season. They look to run the ball a lot more because they have a mobile quarterback. And the size on Emmanuel is something that is notable. He's 6'3", 220. He played a little bit last year, but he's listed as a freshman. He's got three touchdowns, three picks, and 280 yards through the season. But he has 142 yards on the ground, so he's averaging about 70 yards a game, and he has two touchdowns. So five total touchdowns, three picks, and a 1-1 record. Things get interesting for us, though, because Central Michigan allows 472 yards a game. Their passing defense is the real problem. They allow 386 of those yards, and their rush defense allows 86 yards. Now, our offensive line should blow them out of the water. They should be bigger. They should be faster. They should be stronger. They should be smarter. They will get over 100 yards in this game. I know Central Michigan's only given up 86 up to this point, but this is a game that, you know, it's a game that we're paying them to come play us, you know. So NIU actually gets to come play Notre Dame next year. Y'all get to see me with the 50-50 split jersey, half NIU, half ND, hoping that everyone has a good time. But Central Michigan is getting paid to come play this game. You can see it with the line, with FBI analytics, with all that. But they will come and give us their best punch. And I think right now it's the perfect time of the season for us to play because you have Ohio State on the other side. Everyone's going to be looking ahead to that game. I've talked about it like 100 times so far. You can only imagine that the players and the coaches are also, they have eyes on that game. That's like, you know how I said North Carolina State was our first true test? That's what they look at as the first true test. First ranked opponent, play them under the lights at Notre Dame Stadium, a team that I don't think I've ever seen us beat. I have PTSD from the Fiesta, from multiple Fiesta Bowls, watching Jalen Smith's knee blow up in front of me right before he ended up going to the draft. The Brady Quinn Fiesta Bowl. Like, I don't have a good history watching my teams play Ohio State, Northern Illinois included. So it is what it is, but you have Central Michigan. You blow them out. You get the starters out of this game by halftime. I don't want to see Sam Hartman, even with shoulder pads on, at halftime. You just blow them out. You go out there, all gas, no brakes, and you get as many points as you can in the first half. Run up the score. Get what you need to get done. Get everybody back into that locker room the same way they came out. And you get ready for Ohio State. Because this is like the final, like, bullshit game on our schedule, right? This is it. This is almost like we had a preseason of four games where one game was a serious game and then three games were just cupcakes, right? And this is the last of those cupcakes. You get the starters out by the first half. You make it uncomfortable for Bernie Manuel. He will throw you an interception this game, at least one. He will turn the ball over. The pocket will be collapsing on him, and he will get out of there and run. He will do a little bit of damage with his legs. I'm not denying that. He does have talent, but I just think it's going to be a case of too much ammo, too much pressure, and we'll blow him out of the water. We'll put up at least 45, 50 points. Central Michigan won't cross 14. I promise you that. They'll be hard-pressed to get to 14 points. Offensively, blow them out with keeping it as vanilla as possible. I don't know how that gets done, but there's a reason why I podcast and I don't coach. So find a way to get as many points on the board early as possible. Get them out of their game and I'd like to set a goal of having 35 points by halftime. 35 by the half, or at least 28. And on the defensive side of the ball, I think that Central Michigan, they know they can't get into a shootout with us, right? They know they won't get into a shootout with us. So they're going to come in. They're going to play pretty conservatively. They're a team that's run heavy. Like I said, not run heavy, but they're going to look to run the football. They're going to look to get their backs involved. They're going to look to get Bert Emanuel moving on the QB sneaks and the play action and get him out of the pocket and rolling out, because it's easier to run when you're rolling out than when you're in the pocket. But I just think that it's just a game that you look for guys like Steve Angeli and for the younger players to get some valuable reps. Their leading receiver, ironically, also on the year, has 142 yards, and that is Chris Parker. And their lead back is Miles Bailey, who's 15 yards behind Bert Emanuel at 15. Three rushing props, so they have six total offensive touchdowns through two games. And the receiver room really hasn't done much so far this season. So they have two receivers, a tight end, and a running back that have 3+ receptions this year. And that's it. And their leading receiver is Chris Parker, who I do not know. Yeah, he's a sophomore. I can't definitively say I remember seeing him last year when I was at NIU CMU, and I haven't really had time to sit down and watch a CMU game this year. The first week I was at work, and the second week I was at the NIU game. So at the NIU game, watching the Notre Dame game in the press box. So a very, very busy day for me Saturday. But on the defensive side of the ball, I just say create turnovers and create havoc. This is a game that you're going to be able to rotate. You're going to be able to play some young guys, give them opportunities to make plays against a D1 opponent. Granted, it'd be the group of five. Doesn't matter to me. These are still live game reps. And I think that if we can pitch a first half shutout, then there's no doubt in my mind that the starters can all be pulled by the end of the first half. So I'll say, first half shutout, at least 28+ from the starters, should be smooth sailing from there on out. For a score prediction, it was one thing for me to lay the line on -21.5 or whatever it was for the Navy game, but the -34.5 is a line that is a little bit too high for me. I think that we're not in the mood to run it up too high. I think that once we take the starters out, the game will tremendously slow down. And I think that if there is a bet that I end up making, I haven't even looked at a number, I would take the under at halftime. And I would tweet it out, so don't call it. We'll call it the second half under. The game will have way more points in the first half than it does in the second. And I think that it tremendously slows down because it will be our younger players, our bench players, and CMU will just want to get the fuck out of South Bend and get to action. So final score prediction, I'm going to say 45 to 10. 45 to 10 is my score prediction. Ironically, that falls right at 34.5, but at the under. It's 51.5 for the full game. So if I do like a play pregame without looking, I would take the first half over up to 27.5 points. Like I said, our offense is an offense that can hit you in a hurry. They can hit you in a variety of different ways. And there's no way that we get to halftime without at least 20. I think we score 28 on our own. Let me take a look and see if they have any of these lines listed, because these bigger line games aren't, I don't know, they're harder to find sometimes. 34.5 points is a lot of fucking points. Let's pull up the ranked games. Full game total, like I said, 51.5. First half over is 29.5. See, they know that First half's going to be a lot more points than the second half. Second half over is not listed. The very rare just like stay away game. Maybe I'll make like a prop bet or something, but this is, we have the biggest, one of the biggest games of our season on the other side. We're not too interested in this opponent. You find a way to score more points than them, you win this game. I'm just not too sold on, you know, the line is very big. You can find under 52 on DraftKings. You know what? That'll be the play. If there's any play that I have, it will be the under. Just full game under. If there is a play that I have for this game, I will tweet it out for the people Saturday morning when I release all my picks. But 45 to 10, offensive player of the game. Like I said, it's going to be a lot of different people playing, so I will say Jaden Greathouse. I'd like to see the receivers, especially the young ones, make some big plays. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I am going to go Jordan Vitello. I think that Bert Emanuel is going to keep the ends busy, and I think the ends are going to answer the call. I think that it's going to be a very long day for Mr. Emanuel and South Bend. He's not going to want to make a trip back anytime soon. And I think they hold them under 14 points. So 45-10 final score. Offensively, I'd like to see a good game out of Jaden Greathouse. And defensively, I'd like to see one out of Jordan Vitello. We will be back with you guys on the other side of this game to break down, you know, another Irish win against Central Michigan, and then get you guys ready for the biggest game of the season up to this point against Ohio State. But again, we always appreciate you guys for tuning in to another episode of Irish On Tap. Make sure to follow our socials at On Tap Irish and follow me at BDon300. But like I said, we'll be back with you guys on the other side to recap the Central Michigan game and get you guys ready for the Ohio State game. Look out for the game day tweets. Interact with us. We always love talking with you guys on game days. We'll be back to you guys in the middle of the week. Got nothing else for you guys. Irish by 1,000, as Mama would always say. And go Irish.